So you don't have a main principal office?
No, I'm the only principal.
Wow. What's a terrible piece of advice that you would give to a new real estate agency owner?
Stop selling.
Nice.
That's the worst advice people give agency owners at the start. I've seen so many people buy offices or open offices and all of a sudden they stop selling. I'm like, why? Why did you do this? Without recruitment, you can't. One of the things I'll say to agents who are considering opening their own office.
What do you have to get good at really quick?
When you start, the best performers don't want to join you. So one of the things you have to really get good at is to...
Agents, welcome to the Get Keen podcast, your number one destination for learning how to get the most out of your real estate career. I'm Dan Lee, founder of Plum Property, one of Queensland's largest independent real estate offices, and Plum Partners, where we've helped dozens of agents create, run, and grow their very own agencies. On Get Keen, I chat to high-performing agents, principals, and agency owners, so you have the tools, strategies, and insights to grow your business and live the best life for yourself and your family. Now let's get keen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Get Keen, baby. Yeah, and we've got the man, the myth, the legend, the serial entrepreneur, RV Khan. Let me tell you a little bit about RV. I've known him for years. He's one of the most humble, gentle, softly spoken guys that you will ever meet in real estate, an absolute top bloke. I'm so happy to have him here. I always enjoy my conversations with you, mate, whenever I run into you. You're someone that I've always said I could do business with that guy. He's a guy I want to have in my corner. And it's probably a testament to why he's been able to build 5 real estate offices in the last 5 years and have a multitude of other successful businesses. We were just talking about it before. You've got your own Celebrity Ink tattoo parlor.
That's correct, yes.
Which is completely random. And you have an offshoring business and you have a conveyancing business. And then you have all these real estate offices as well. Mate, it's like every quarter you've got a new business. I don't know how you do it. Where do you find the time?
Well, firstly, thanks for the welcome, Dan. And I can say the same thing about you. I've admired your career for a long time. You know, back from the LG Hooker days when you were just dominating. And to see what you've done in that time and now you're creating those opportunities for other leaders out there, it's special to see. So thank you so much for having me. It's a great pleasure to be here.
No worries, man. I've been really, really excited to have a conversation with you just one-on-one, half an hour straight, and bring massive value to our audience. And I think for you, there's just so much to learn. You've gone through, you know, you weren't handed anything. And I'd love to know the back end of your story because I actually don't know you deeply, you know, from your, you know, before real estate. I'd like to know a little bit more about that. You weren't handed anything. You know, you started off as an agent. You started your first business. And now, you know, within 5 years, blowing up, having these amazing agents like, you know, Rebecca Cutterman and I know there's many others on your team doing huge numbers and having multiple offices and more businesses and like that's you've just achieved so much in such a short period of time. Can you take me back to like before real estate? How did you get into it and find yourself being a real estate agent? You don't even come across like a real estate agent. You're like the least real estate-y guy that I know.
I'll take that as a compliment. Yeah. I try not to be the typical real estate guy. But no, I was studied in New Zealand. I studied law and I moved to Australia, which is probably about 2010-ish, something around there. I was doing law. I started in the state government. Just fell into like more IT kind of law kind of things. Like I was working on projects, creating business decision-making rules, systems. And I started this work with a company called Oracle. I was contracting a lot. And I was just everywhere, like from Adelaide to Sydney to Melbourne to Brisbane. I was living out of a suitcase until I had my first kid and I was like, something's got to give.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know what? I've got 3 months between contracts. Why don't I try real estate? It looks really cool, right? Like, yeah. It looks really like everyone's successful, driving nice cars, you know, with the, you know, the number plates that you always point out with the lattes and everything. So I called this lady. I remember she had something advertised in Browns Plains and I had no idea where Browns Plains was. I've never been there. I've never even heard of the suburb. She's like, so tell me about Browns Plains. I'm like, I was like quickly Googling. I'm like, oh, it's great. You know, it's got a baby bunting. I go there all the time. I just had my first kid. And, you know, it's in the middle of everywhere. There's units, the townhouses, the acreages. And she goes, oh, my God, this is exactly what I say to my team. Come on down, have a chat. And I was like, okay, by 5 o'clock, I had the job. Uh-huh. And I was like, shit, what do I do now? So I was fortunate and, you know, kind of not so fortunate at the same time, depending on how you look at it. I started an office with about 8 business owners. 7 of them owned the sales office.
Oh, wow.
So everything.
That's complicated.
Yeah, very complicated, Dan. Like everything belonged to them. You know, I still remember one lady telling me, I listed a property and she said, oh, I played water polo back with that guy in 1982. I'm like, 1982? Yeah. Water polo? Why aren't you listing it? I had to give the listing back to her.
Oh.
So it kind of drove me, you know, all these things. Like I had so much motivation at the time, but these little things, you use it as extra motivation all the time. So basically, mate, I was just on the phones the whole day. When I wasn't calling, I was out letterbox dropping. There was no secret to real estate back then. I mean, to a certain extent, there's no secrets now. But I just didn't put the phone down and I didn't stop letterbox dropping. I was letterbox dropping till 2 a.m. and I was on the phones at 8 a.m. So that's how I started. It was at Alger Hook office in Browns Plains.
How old were you then?
32.
Mate, that's really ballsy to drop the, you know, consistent salary job after having your first kid. And then going, oh, I'm just going to take a massive risk and go and do a job that I have no idea how to do and just hope it works out.
Mate,
you didn't really have a plan.
I had no plan.
You couldn't have you couldn't fail really because it would cost you too much to fail.
Yeah, I had a mortgage, I had a kid, and then all of a sudden you're getting paid $36K a year and all you can do with $36K a year is pay for your printing and your petrol, right, and pretty much cover the mortgage. So it was really... like confronting at the time, and the way I got out of it was just by not putting the phone down.
Yeah, you know what? You put yourself in kind of a desperate situation where you had to do what it takes to survive. And it's a story I hear often, you know. It's the same with Alex Jordan. He was in a position where he had to succeed or it was going to be bad. And, when you don't have that if you're just living at home and, you know, if it doesn't work out, I can go do something else. You just don't have that drive. But you had to make it work.
Yeah.
So you just focused on prospecting?
Mate, it's weird because the role that I came from, people were trying to hire me.
Mm.
And then my change was I was trying to hire people in a way because I was trying to find sellers. So prospecting was it was hard in the first few months. But then it became easier and easier. Like everyone told me to F off.
Mm-hmm.
I remember door knocking and people telling me you're going to carry me out of my coffin from here.
Mm-hmm.
People told me go back to your own country. I'm like, it's not even your country to begin with. And yeah, that's a whole different debate, right? But those things were so common, right? And you're like, I'll just get past it, move on. And now I see people like, oh, I don't want to list with you. They come in quiet, like not my team, but like in the industry. Like,
yeah.
You know, oh, they went with someone else. I'm like, get over it, move on. Like rejection is so good sometimes. It makes you better at what you do.
Yeah.
So, mate, I never stopped prospecting. That was how I got out of everything.
Yeah.
I remember like my 6th, 7th, and 8th month in real estate, I didn't list a single property. And my principal was like, hey, what's going on? But, mate, I was appraising 20 properties a week back then.
Yeah.
Like actual face-to-face. Now people are so scared face-to-face. Like they call it desktop appraisals and all this other stuff. I'm like, why don't you call it an iPad appraisal or a Samsung appraisal? Why the hell is it desktop? So I was just face-to-face with my clients every day. And then that's how I survived because I think in my 11th month I listed like 13 properties or something.
Oh, nice. So the snowball eventually, became big enough to keep you alive and keep you thriving. So what sort of numbers did you get to before you said, and how long did it take you before you said, I'm going to start my own business?
So it's weird because back then, if you write 330K GCI, you have a great career. So that was my goal my first year. Can I write 330? I think that was the El Juca captain's level.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah,
was it 300 or 330, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. I think that was the multi-million.
Multi was 350, was it?
Yeah, 330, then it became 350.
Yeah, something odd back
something
then.
Something weird.
But that was my goal to become captains.
Mm-hmm.
That was what we've been, you know, like you kind of get brainwashed in different places. You're going to get captains, you're going to get this. So, and then I think when I hit captains at El Juca, I had a point to prove to myself that I can beat everyone in the office that was being there for 15, 20 years. You know, it becomes kind of weird after a while competing with, you can't compete with business owners sometimes in the business. Like that becomes hard in some businesses. No disrespect, there's some principals who run a really good business and you can compete with them in a fair manner, but that business, it wasn't working. So that's when Ray White came along saying, hey, we're opening a new office. Why don't you come work here as an agent? So I worked at Hookers for about a year and a bit. And then I worked in another robot for about a year as well. So
okay.
I was an agent for about 2 years before I decided to take the plunge.
Wow, that's a pretty short time. Yeah. Like it took me 10 years to get to that point where I was comfortable enough to do that. I guess you're a bit older than me.
I was
my early 20s.
Yes.
But 2 years, that's not heaps of experience.
No, it's not. And it's kind of like it was a little bit of stupidity, a little bit of ego. I felt like the office I was in, I kind of became the pseudo principal in a way that all the team started relying on me for advice. And I think I was with no disrespect to my principal back then. He was a listing and selling principal. So he was very busy out listing. He was doing good volume. And the team kind of relied on me for advice and support. And I said to myself, you know what? Why am I not doing this myself? And I think I was probably selling 45, 50 homes a year back then.
Okay.
And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to back myself. And Ray White backed me as well. And, you know, I opened an office in an area that I was number one in.
Yeah.
I probably had about 14% market share.
Okay.
So it wasn't massive.
Mm. It was enough to go do it though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was 2 years in, 14%. I thought that wasn't too bad. Now I look back at it, I'm like, shit, I should have done it when I had 25, but that's okay. Yeah. But yeah, I just backed myself.
Yeah.
I'm like, it was all in, all or nothing.
When you started your business, what did you have to get good at really quick?
So when I went in, I didn't actually know what I had to get good at. Like it was just, you just back your sales. I factored in how much sales I was doing. I was like, you know what? They can pay the expenses and I can take the money home and everything else. But what I found was when I opened the business, I had like 8 people come through the door from agents to property managers wanted to join me. So I looked at them like, oh my God, now I'm like 10K a week in expenses all of a sudden. Like, how the hell did this happen? So I had to get really, really good at training and mentoring my staff. I had no idea how to do that. I thought I was doing it before. But when you're paying the wages and when they're all coming for you, there's something extra behind it, right? You're like, you feel it. And I know you feel it as well because you got people that have made the change for you. One of my mentors has told me, like, people leave leaders for leaders. They don't leave for GCI. They don't leave for better market share. They don't leave for marketing. They leave leaders for leaders. So I felt that they're coming for my leadership. So I had to quickly find out how to become a better real estate leader.
Mm.
And that's something that you figure before you open, you think you're good. Like you all think you're good. Everyone thinks they're good. I had the same thing. But then you get there, you're like, how do I do this now?
Yeah.
All these people have joined me. Shit.
Yeah.
It hits you.
And they're like, you know, they're on your ship and they're saying, steer us to the land of the great fortune, please.
100%. 100%.
So what are three things that you can think of that you had to get really good at to be a better leader?
So one thing I really had to do, it comes part of the three things. I just, you know, we have this thing in real estate when you open a business is like, when do you stop selling, Dan? You know, when do you become a principal? When does this transition happen?
Yeah.
I sort of had no choice. I had no choice. I mean, people are like, oh, you transitioned really well. I'm like, yeah, I did. But you had no choice. When you got 8 people there, you kind of have to start stop selling in a way because you have to lead them. So one of the things I had to become really good at is how that transition worked and like how am I going to mentor and develop them. And what I did with all my agents that were with me, I started co-listing with them. So everything I listed, someone was on the listing. So the seller got me, the buyer got the other agent. And from there, I hope the other agents would say it helped them create market share for themselves as well.
Yeah.
So one of the things is like, how do I mentor them? How do I train them? How do I teach them? The other thing was all of a sudden you're a full-time recruiter. People don't realize that. Like recruitment fixes all the problems in your business even before you realize you have a problem. So, you know, one of my really close friends, Megan Jeffy at Ray White Romero said, if you don't recruit, it's like shaving. Sooner or later, you look like a bum. Right. So I was like, okay, I got to start recruiting. And the problem was when you start, no one wants to join you. The best performers don't want to join you. So one of the things you have to really get good at is to create superstars, is to help your agents. I've got a 100K agent. How can I make them 300K? You can't recruit till you've developed people in your own team.
Mm.
Golden rule of real estate. Mm. People make the biggest mistake. I'm going to go out there and recruit. You can't. You got no runs on the board. No one's going to come join you unless you can show the industry, show the agents out there that, hey, if you come to me, this is what's going to happen. Look at agent A, look at agent B. This is what happened. Agent A started it. It's like case studies when you're listing a property. This is what I've sold for down the road.
Absolutely.
So all your agents, it's incumbent upon you to make them grow because if you can't grow them, no one else will join you.
Yeah. So the first thing is you have to be successful yourself as an agent?
You do. I believe if you want to open a real estate agency, you have to be either a good agent or learning to be a good agent, a great agent, or you have to be an auctioneer. You have to be in and around it, right? You have to show leadership aspects. So you have to become good at listing and selling yourself before you can impart it to someone else.
Yeah, exactly. And you're the only source of income.
You really are.
Right?
You really are.
If you're starting a property management, you know, even 50 management's not making you any money.
No.
100 management's isn't making you any money. Even 300 management's hardly makes you any money. Like, and it's a headache.
It is.
So, like,
yeah.
All you've got is your sales. Mm. And if you're going to attract those first few people or grow a great sales associate into a great agent, you've got to be really successful yourself.
You do. You really have to.
You've got to focus on that for the first couple of years. And then just find that moment when you can transition, right?
Yeah.
Just pick the right moment when you've got the people and you're like, now I can give more by stepping back.
If you don't pick the right moment, the moment will find you.
Yeah.
And you're going to be unprepared.
Yeah.
So you have to pick the right moment. You have to plan it out. I was unprepared because it happened to me in the first 3 months. So you got to pick the right moment when you're going to transition out, because this is what happens to your profit margin when you transition out.
Yeah.
If the business owners or potential business owners are listening. So you have to get that bit right. Otherwise, everything can go wrong.
Hey guys, just quickly, if you're loving this content and you're a real estate agent that's already thinking what it might be like to have your own real estate business and brand, then check out the show notes. There'll be a link to our Plum Partners website where you can leave an inquiry and me or one of my team members will reach out. We help agents to create, run, and grow their own real estate business and brand so they can earn more and set up a better future for themselves. So get keen, get in touch. Now let's get back to the episode. Mate, this has been absolute gold. You've had a lot of experience with your agents and marketing and stuff like that, and the way you're promoting AKG now, it's awesome, and you're much heavier on social media. What's the best marketing idea you've done or you've seen from your business?
I think to answer that, the first thing I'll say to people is that marketing is so overrated if you don't have the fundamentals right. So the first thing to concentrate on, because all these new agents are starting, right? All they want to do is go on social media. It angers me so much sometimes when I get that from other trainers teaching people that. So first thing you have to do is get the fundamentals right. The fundamentals of real estate has not changed. It's about who gets belly to belly. The whole idea about social media is, can you get in front of clients? I've seen so much great marketing from my team coming out over the last 3-4 years. I think one of the best campaigns that we've had was one of my agents, Corey Boyd. He ran a no reserve auction. It was ballsy of the owner.
Mm.
Like, he had so much trust in Corey's ability and his advice. We had an Australian record, 161 bidders. It was the greatest showman video going out.
I heard about it, but yeah. I haven't seen it, but I heard about it.
It was a great video. Domain carried it. Realestate.com carried it. Corey Mail carried it.
I didn't know that was your team.
It was my team.
That's
awesome. See, 161 bidders on the auction day itself. No reserve. The first bid was $1. It was great marketing. And it was great for the community as well, because the result was great. Look, the thing about marketing is you have to find the right balance between funny and serious.
Mm.
I think when we find that balance, it goes off. So Corey found the balance perfectly on that property, went off. I think we had like 100 inspections a week on it or something crazy. This is deep down in Logan, you know.
We really
have to work hard on getting inspections. So that was probably one of the best, but I think if you get the fundamentals right first and then do something like this, then it can go off. If you just concentrate on the marketing aspect, it won't work.
Man, I would have loved to have known what happens if the property doesn't get to a good price, you know. There was a guy who did a no reserve auction, Dixon Johnson. That real estate agency, I think it was the Johnson dude. I don't know if he's around anymore or what, he held a no reserve auction for his own house in like Corinda or something.
Yes.
And he did it on his own house. And he was so confident that, no reserve, it'll go over. And it didn't go over. Like, it didn't come anywhere close.
Yeah,
he only got to about 2/3 of what probably the house value was, or even less, and it just stopped. And he didn't sell it. And he had promoted this thing as a no reserve auction in the paper. It was everywhere, and it fizzled. And then he just didn't sell it, and he got absolutely crucified.
Yeah.
Which you would, of course, because it backfired. So it's a ballsy thing to do.
Well, it's not for the faint-hearted, right? Yeah. And one of the corresponding thing from this is that we've got this obsession with off-market at the moment in our industry. It's been since COVID days. So I think we call it pre-market because we always take it online, whatever happens. So Corey ran a great pre-market campaign and he had the confidence that he would get a really good price for his owner. So that's why he could suggest that to the owner. Like, we've got so much interest, let's take it to auction and let's remove the reserve. And that's what happened. So it's you have to be skilled at it. You can't just say, oh, it's my house, I'll do it, you know. But you have to sell that one. He should have sold it.
Yeah, it's surprising that it didn't because it should, it you know, should, every time it should, even if it's not a great price and it just gets in the ballpark, it should sell. So unfortunate for the guy, but geez, you know, I think he actually got like ACCC were on him and all this kind of stuff because it's literally, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Can't say no reserve and then not sell it.
Yeah.
So, no, awesome that worked out. What's, like, to agents that are thinking about starting their own business, they're doing well, they're just not, like, you know, something's stopping them. What's some advice that you would give to agents other than just do it, but, like, what should they do to prepare themselves or just get the confidence to do something like that?
I think reach out to successful principals, learn the pitfalls as well, because it's not for everyone, but it can be done, like you said, like everyone can go and make a go of it if they want to, but learn what you have to do, because, you know, on day one, this is the weirdest thing, you'll find out that you're the cleaner, you're the accountant, you're the payroll clerk, you're the guy that gets the coffees, you're the guy who opens up at 8 o'clock, or you're the lady, whoever, female, male. There's a lot to it, right? It's not just listing and selling and like, I'm going to keep my comms, keep my split. There's a lot to it. Do you want to build a rent roll? Do you don't? Do you want to hire people or you don't? If you're just going to be a standalone agent, then what's the point? You know, I find a model that suits you. There's so many models out there.
Yeah.
So talk to the people who have done it. Talk to the people that have failed at it and say, what can I do better? You know, always back yourself. Yes. Mm-hmm. But there's so many different ways of doing it. So, you know, there's so many successful principals out there, you know, like yourself included. You know, so reach out to people that have done it and done it well.
That's great advice. Yeah. Now that you've got, like, I'd love to know this because I have all my businesses under one roof. They're all kind of like all my people are together. And I just have, this fear of having another office somewhere else of my own. I'm just like, I can't handle that. I've got to have everyone here with me, all my businesses together. I like that. I can see everything. You've got like 7 businesses all in different places. How do you keep track of what's going on?
So we've come down to 5 locations now, right? So we've got 3 locations in Brisbane. We've got 1 location in Sydney, which the law firm is running from. We've got 1 location in the Philippines. So we went from 10 to 5 because of that reason, because it's just hard to run things and how to not keep control, but to manage, motivate, train people in that way. I think the way that real estate's going as well is changing because the localized aspect is no longer as a strong a force as it used to be, right?
Yeah.
You have to be on every corner. That shit's gone, right? People don't need a local agent as much as they used to because since COVID, the way people buy properties has changed. They no longer look at 1 or 2 areas. They look at 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So it was hard to manage that way simply because I just couldn't give back to my staff the way I wanted to.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm wondering. Like, how do you give, like, time to every office? They all want a piece of you know, Avi Khan, the legend.
So here's the thing, right? I think the model of you have these many offices and then 3 or 4 principals, that's dead. So what we have, we are building specialists. So under me, there's 11 leaders now. Okay. So my team go to specialists every time they need something. They don't need to go to the principal. Yes, deal support, they'll come to me. How to run a business, how to do a business plan, how to train associates, all these things that come to me. But there's a head of media now, right? There's a head of HR. There's a head of growth to find associates for them. There's a head of PM. We've got a PM CEO who manages 2,700 properties now. There's a head of BDM now who manages 4 BDMs. There's a head of marketing. There's a head of offshore support. So that's the way you build a multiple layer business. You don't just rely on one principal or what traditional model is like. Mm-hmm. There's a principal per office. That's dead. I don't think principals add that much as they used to.
So you don't have a main principal per office?
No, I'm the only principal.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's what enabled me to build a leadership team because we can afford a proper functioning, serious leadership team. They're all skilled at what they do. So every person in the leadership team, is that's their forte. That's what they've done before they've joined AKG. They were head of marketing somewhere else. They're head of media somewhere else. They're head of HR somewhere else. So that's what enabled us to have multiple sites.
Okay, so you have like at each site a head of something, but they're not the head of that business.
No, not at all.
So what about the agents in those other offices? Because your main office is the Marsden one, right?
Yeah.
That's your biggest one?
Marsden is the biggest office for sales. Yeah. Daisy Hill is our biggest office for property management.
Okay. But you do have sales agents at the other
all
office.
Across.
All of them. So how, like those agents coming in, but they don't have the leader at that office.
Yeah.
But do they, like, where do they go for support and direction? So do they just pick up the phone?
Yeah, so each office has office manager. And each office has a strength in some. So say my Brookwood office, that's where all the media and marketing team. So there's no poor cousin in this system. That's where the marketing team and the media team are located. Marsden is where the sales leadership is. Daisy Hill is where the property management leadership is. My agents can go to any office they want to.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're in that area, they can go there. They've got one-on-ones. They can book for head of media, head of marketing. You can call HR anytime. They can book a one-on-one with me anytime, whether it's weekly, fortnightly, monthly. So it's the system that works. It's not localized.
Mm-hmm.
It's that my team, my leadership team, a different office every day, depending on what's needed where.
That's really interesting.
So that's how I think the real estate is going. And this is what I've learned through my study tours. So I've spoken to a lot of Ray White, multi-office owners, LG Hookers, Harcourts, all the other agencies that are bigger offices. Hey, how do you run this? Because this thing of having local offices with a principal in each office, that's kind of dead now, in my opinion anyway.
Yeah.
No disrespect to anyone who's doing it well out there.
And there are agencies that are doing that very well, you know. But there's always a new way and sometimes a better way. And, you know, the way technology is going, everything being in the cloud, all of it, you know, we don't need big servers in the corner of our office anymore. All of our programs that we use are all online. We can work from home. We can work from anywhere. Like, and now it just allows you to amalgamate your business from anywhere. That's what's allowed us to be able to do something like Plum Partners.
Yeah.
Where we can help an agent to go and launch their own business and brand from anywhere in Australia. And we're doing all of the
centralized,
back end. Centralized from here. So you're sort of central. But I like it that you're centralizing each department in a different spot.
Yeah.
So it gives sort of a location for everyone.
Yeah, everyone feels important in the whole scheme of things. And look, I think that, you know, like me sitting down and talking to them about social media, it's not going to work anymore because they want that specialist person.
Mm.
They want that person who lives and breathes social media. Mm. The agents are wanting to speak to someone who's knows how to gain management or talk to property owners. They're not going to get that from the principal as much. So I think that's the way an industry is going. The agents want that. So we're kind of following suit. It's like, okay, we've got all these specialists that you can deal with, and the centralizing is that's the way to go. But having that location there, they either can work out of any three offices they want to. That's what we've decided to do. It works for us. It might not be for everyone, but it works for us.
It gives you a good strategic advantage for the agents to be able to drop into other offices and sell in other areas and give them exposure to the
100%. Yeah. And mate, like think of it, if I've got an agent say in Brookwater who's got a client who's looking in Daisy Hill, they can call each other, talk to each other. And we can say to you, so we say to our sellers all the time, like Mr. and Ms. Seller, we meet 700 people every weekend at our open homes. Of these 700, we're going to expose your property to you on Monday or Tuesday. Does that sound good to you? So we can do stuff that other agencies can't. So it kind of becomes our point of difference, the way we've set it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. Mate, that's so interesting what you've done. It's I'd love to talk more about this. We're running out of time, but I'll throw a bit of a curveball question at you, and I'm putting you on the spot. But what's a terrible piece of advice that you would give to a new real estate agency owner?
Stop selling.
Nice.
That's the worst advice people give agency owners at the start. Stop selling. That's terrible. We spoke about this earlier in the podcast. There's a time and place for it. You know, there's a transition for it. I've seen so many people buy offices or open offices and all of a sudden they stop selling. I'm like, why? Why did you do this? Without recruitment, you can't. You know?
Yes, exactly.
I think that's the worst thing. And then sometimes like, one of the things I'll say to agents who are considering opening their own office, figure out if you're a leader. It's not a bad thing if you're not. Can you lead yourself? Most of the times the answer is maybe sometimes. You know, like some days we can't lead ourselves because we've had a bad day the day before, we've got something going on. If you can't lead yourself, how can you lead a team? It's a tough conversation because you're a counselor at the same time, you know, you're the best friend at the same time. So what are you a leader? Yeah. That's the question you need to ask yourself.
And if you're not, then you need to get someone in that is more of a leader, right? Yeah. So you got to get someone to fill that gap.
100%. Yeah.
That's a great piece of advice of what not to do. I love it. That was filled, jam-packed, full of value, mate. I could keep this conversation going for like hours. You're such an interesting dude. You're very successful. You've obviously got a brilliant mind. Thank you so much for joining us. I'd love to get you on again in the future and just see where else you're going, because how far you've come in the last 3 years, just amazing. By the way, if you want to connect with Avi and find out more about what he's doing, his socials are on Insta, straight up, Avi Khan, and same on Facebook, right?
That's perfect. Thank you so much.
And he's such a generous guy. Throw him a question or two.
My phone number is 1-300-GOOD-TIMES. No, I'm kidding. I just had to get that.
I'm going to call that and find out what it was.
Yeah, find out where it goes. I don't know.
Thanks again, man.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you for tuning into the Get Keen podcast. If today's episode inspired you, please show your support with a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And make sure you subscribe on your favorite platform too. Don't stop there. Join our community of forward thinkers by connecting with me on social media at Dan_Lee_Plum. I'm looking forward to exploring more strategies and insights with you on your journey to the top. Until next time, keep getting keen.